Hey everybody, so Eric and I would like to talk about the primary and secondary works of the Spirit in the book of Acts. I have a quick infographic, a visual that will help summarize this pretty quick. This we had discussed in our last class came from Hebrews 2 verses 3 through 5. I'll put this on the Manslick Road website for everyone to look at. But let us remember the primary and secondary works of the Spirit. Primarily, the Spirit gave the message of salvation through the apostles and scriptures, which cleanses us from sin. Secondarily, the Spirit confirmed the message of salvation through signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts. What we'd like to do in this class is take you through a few examples in the book of Acts to demonstrate how this simple but hopefully powerful distinction between the primary and secondary works of the Spirit, the major and minor, whatever you want to call it, the mature to complete works of the Spirit really help us to make sense of what the Spirit has done, especially in the early days of the church. So let's begin in Acts 2. This is one of probably the most well-known chapters of the Spirit anywhere in the Bible. Look at Acts chapter 2. And Eric, I want you to read for me a few verses here, but let's read verse 33 to begin.
Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing.
What here is our key phrase that the Old Testament prophets used many, many, many times over?
Poured out.
Poured out of the Spirit, right? Right from Isaiah and Joel and Ezekiel and others. God has poured out his Spirit in these last days. And we know from previous classes, what does the pouring out of the Spirit yield?
New life.
New life. Yeah, Titus 3, 5 through 7 makes that abundantly clear. It's no surprise then, when you look at Acts 2:38, what does it say?
Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
What is this gift of the Spirit?
Sanctification, new life.
That's it. Now, to me, this is so simple now. Whenever you get all of the Old Testament prophets in your head, and you read this in context, it's like, what else could that be? There is all types of debate about whether this is objective or subjective genitive and all types of grammatical stuff that make no living difference. Is this the gift of the Spirit, the gift from the Spirit? Is the Spirit the gift? All of that frivolous discussion misses the point. Whether the Spirit is the gift or the one giving the gift, it is that new life of the Spirit that is the gift. I was teaching this in a small group class to some of our older members, and I'll never forget a woman who's 70 years old. The look in her eyes when she finally understood after 70 years of life what this verse is. It's so simple, but it's so profound. So is this the primary or the secondary work of the Spirit?
This is the primary.
This is the primary. But let's keep that in mind as we go down to chapter 2. Let's do verses 42 and 43.
And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who... I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. It's fine. You read that next verse.
And all who believed were together and had all things in common.
So here, what are the apostles doing?
They're doing wonders and signs, amazing things.
And this was the primary thing the Spirit was seeking to bring about in the early church, right?
I would say it's the secondary.
It's the secondary. Why were the apostles doing wonders and signs?
Because they were verifying the primary thing that the Spirit was doing. He was dispensing new life. So the apostles were demonstrating what this new life holds for creation.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, y'all understand why this support is important here. I mean, if someone comes to my front porch with an Amazon package out of an Amazon truck and drops it off, I'm probably not looking for a lot of proof that that person was really from Amazon. But if I have someone show up at my front door and they're demanding that I'm arrested and that I'm going to jail and I'm going to be tried and they aren't wearing police uniform with police identification, probably not going to accept that information very well. For important claims, you need very good proof. And that's what the Spirit's doing here, is the Spirit recognizes this is really, 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 really important. So there needs to be really, really good substantiation for the really important claim that he's making here. Okay? Now, I want to start by showing this secondary work of the Spirit in the early days of, I'm going to even say the early months of the church, was limited to the apostles. This is something I think is often missed, but it's very important. When you look at Jerusalem, these miraculous signs and wonders were not being done by every member. They were being done by the apostles. Look back to Acts 1. If you look back to Acts chapter 1, Jesus, before he ascends, makes a promise. Verse 8, please.
But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the world.
So here, Jesus promises that the Spirit will come and give them power. Okay? Who is this promise made to?
To the apostles.
It is. Now, and y'all remember, this was from a few classes ago from John 14. It says in John 14, 26, when the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I've said to you. The Spirit was going to work in a special way with the apostles for the sake of confirming the message they were speaking. And so then it's no surprise. The apostles were the ones doing these signs and wonders and gifts in the days of the early church. A few other examples of this. If you look over to Acts chapter 2, look over to Acts chapter 2, do verses 1 through 4 here.
When the day of Pentecost arrived, and were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
So here, who is speaking in tongues?
I mean, everybody that was in this, place.
Exactly, yeah. And as you work through Acts 2, it's the apostles in particular who are working by this power for the sake of confirmation when the Spirit comes down upon and ascends upon them. Look over to Acts chapter 3, same thing in Acts chapter 3. If you look over to Acts chapter 3, verse 6, notice what Peter does here.
But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.
So again, what's Peter doing?
He's demonstrating the power of the Spirit.
Exactly. Look over to Acts 4. Acts 4, verse 8.
Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done among a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well.
So here Peter is preaching this message of salvation, and he does it by the power?
By the power of the Spirit.
By the power of the Spirit. Likewise, look over to Acts chapter 4, verse 33.
And with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all.
So again, with great power, notice that key phrase here, with great power, the apostles were giving the testimony. The apostles were the ones empowered by the Spirit speaking this message. And another really important one, over in Acts 5, verses 12 through 16.
Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people at the hands of the apostles. And they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats. That is, Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns of Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed.
Who was doing miraculous works?
Peter and the apostles.
Peter and the apostles. Y'all, did you notice how we went through the first few chapters in Acts? In the early days of the church, who were the only ones performing miraculous signs and wonders?
The apostles.
The apostles. Okay. But now, let's go back, Eric. Is this the primary or the secondary work of the Spirit that we just read about?
Secondary.
Secondary. Does that mean that the other believers did not have the Spirit?
No, it just means they didn't have the secondary.
Exactly. Exactly. Look at some other passages here. Let's notice that Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, is very emphatic that other believers had the Spirit and were given the gift of the Spirit. A couple that I think are very obvious with this. Look at Acts chapter 5. If you look at Acts chapter 5, actually, let's go to Acts 4 first. Let me show you this one from Acts 4. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 31.
And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness.
So here you see the Spirit at work. You see the Spirit at work. Now let's look at Acts 5. Look at Acts 5. This one I think is emphatic. Look at verse 32.
And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him.
Who received the Holy Spirit?
Those who obeyed.
So, hold on. I thought the Holy Spirit was only given to the apostles.
Secondarily, to verify this primary message here.
Exactly, y'all. This is a passage that I would really recommend. I don't want to use the scripture in argumentative sense, but let me say it this way. If you are talking to someone who's very emphatic that the Spirit was only given to the apostles, there's no way to get around Acts 5:32. The Spirit was given to all those who obeyed him for the purpose of?
Confirmation.
Exactly. Look over to Acts 9. Same thing over in Acts 9. Verse 31.
Acts 9:31. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied.
So what did the early church walk in?
In the comfort of the Holy Spirit.
In the comfort of the Spirit. So y'all, again, notice this primary gift of the Spirit, which was the giving of life given by the message, it was given to anyone who would come to Jesus. All those who were baptized into Jesus by faith were given this primary gift of the Spirit. But the secondary gift of the Spirit was only by the hands of the apostles. Only the apostles were giving new revelation. Only the apostles were giving miracles. Only the apostles were the ones speaking in tongues. There's a very important difference here between the primary work of the Spirit and the recipients, and the secondary work of the recipients of that as well. Look at Acts chapter 3. There's a really interesting phrase in Acts chapter 3. Read verses 19 and 20, Eric.
Okay. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus.
So here, did you notice this phrase, times of refreshing may come upon you?
Yeah.
Now, you know exactly what that means. Go ahead.
No. You go ahead.
I saw the smile. Go ahead.
No, I was just thinking back to our studies on we had about the Sabbath.
It is, yeah. This is from Exodus 31:17. So this is from Exodus 31:17. Eric showed me this passage a couple years ago now. This is the work of the Spirit refreshing creation. That's a Sabbath idea in the Old Testament. But the Spirit is the one who is now refreshing creation, and the Spirit is the one recreating, giving new creation to all those who come to the Messiah.
And there's still a day appointed, and it's today, if you yes. want to experience that.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. It is. So, y'all, do you see how useful it is to keep track of these two different works of the Spirit as you go throughout the book of Acts? If you see a unidimensional work of the Spirit, you will absolutely butcher what the Spirit is doing in Acts. But rather, if we see this more multifaceted view of what the Spirit is doing and by whom he's doing it, I think we come to a much greater appreciation of what the Spirit was doing in the early days and early months of the church, and what he continues today to do today among us believers. Let me show a few other examples here from Acts. Look over to Acts chapter 8. If you look over to Acts chapter 8, we're again going to see this work of the Spirit given in a couple of different ways. Let me ask this before we go to this one, Eric. The primary work of the Spirit, that new creation, new life that he'll give, how can someone today receive that work?
Through baptism.
Secondary, the confirmation by signs and wonders and gifts. How can someone today receive that?
If one of the apostles were to be resurrected and they were to lay their hands on you, I guess that would be the only way.
Yes. Yeah, so y'all, this is where we want to introduce another important idea here. The continuation of these spiritual gifts, we're going to deal with in two classes, and we'll explain why we don't hold the view that these miraculous gifts of the Spirit in the early days of the church are still at work. But so give us a bit of time to really develop that idea. But anyone today who is going to obey by faith what the Lord has spoken through Jesus is going to be given new creation and new life. But the secondary work of the Spirit of confirmation by wonders and signs and miracles, that was only passed on through the laying on of hands. Look here in Acts 8. Acts 8. Let's do verses 17 down through 19.
And they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money."
So here, the Spirit, verse 15, had not yet been given in Samaria. Okay? There were some who had been baptized, yet the Spirit had not yet been given. What does that mean, that the Spirit had not yet been given?
I guess that the apostles hadn't laid on their hands and given them the secondary power of the Spirit.
That's it. Now, y'all, it's very important as you go through Acts 8, as you work through Acts chapter 8, Philip has already gone and he has proclaimed the gospel throughout Samaria. Yet, Philip was not able to pass on by the laying on of hands, the secondary works of the Spirit. That's why Philip is going to call the apostles to come to Samaria, because Philip was not able to pass these things on. Philip was able to preach the good news. Philip was able to talk about the new life and the recreation that the Spirit is able to give. But Philip was not able to give on these secondary gifts of the Spirit, which is why the laying on of hands was required. Go a bit later in the book of Acts. Look over to Acts chapter 19. If you look to Acts chapter 19, the same pattern is formed here. Acts chapter 19, and let's read verses 1 down through verse 7.
And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples. And he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "No. We have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." And Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all.
This is a fascinating story for so many reasons. But here you have Paul, who goes to Ephesus, and he preached to them the message of good news. So they're baptized in the name of Jesus. When they're baptized in the name of Jesus, which work of the Spirit do they receive?
The primary
work of the Spirit, okay? Based on everything else that we have read in Acts, they've received the primary work of the Spirit. Yet, they're only able to speak in tongues and prophesy when?
When Paul laid his hands on them.
That's it. Now, y'all, we're going to continue this in our next class when we talk about Cornelius, but this is a very important principle that we all understand before we continue. The primary work of the Spirit, the work of recreation and sanctification, is able for anyone who responds to the message that has been delivered in Jesus recorded in Scripture. But the secondary work of the Spirit, we only ever see it passed through the laying on of the apostles' hands. And that must be a very important distinction for us as we move into our next class. Eric, anything to close us out on?
No, I'm just thankful that, this study, going through it multiple times especially, has helped me like differentiate the different works of the Spirit throughout the Old, throughout the New Testament and the Old as well. But, it just really allows me to see how God is working through His Spirit, in my own life, because you've helped me kind of differentiate these works, these primary secondary works.
Amen. Amen. You know, because if we look around a church today and we don't see signs and wonders and tongues, we're not to conclude the Spirit's not at work.
Right.
Rather, we are to look, we've been talking about this. If we're not going to see the primary work of the Spirit today evidenced by signs and wonders and tongues, where are we going to see the primary work of the Spirit evidenced today?
In the lives of those who have been transformed by the primary work of the Spirit. I mean, that is the verification. That is our secondary aspect of the Spirit.
Yes.
Proving that God is reliable and trustworthy and faithful in all that He's done.
Amen. You know, it's such a beautiful idea. It's a 2 Corinthians 3 idea, really, that as we are transformed by the Spirit, we then are the ones who behold the glory of God to the rest of the world. And that, I think, is a far more profound and just empowering idea, that we can see the Spirit at work today, but just not in tongues.
Right.
All right, y'all. We'll pick up with Cornelius next time.